Well, good morning, Stavanger. This is Pastor Matt. I'm actually coming to you from Tioga, North Dakota. I'm here visiting my family this weekend, and given that we are doing this service online, works out to record here. Just want to let you know we are remembering those today that have lost their lives for our country to help make us safe and to give us freedom. And even today, as we aren't meeting in person, we do still have the freedom to gather in this limited way online. And we thank our brave soldiers who have died to defend freedom in that way. We remember them today. As far as announcements goes, we have one really big one. And I'm going to let Pastor John take that away right away.
Hello, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Pastor John Jewell here with a special announcement for you. This next Sunday, May 31st, our plan is to come back together again as a congregation. And here's how we plan to do it. We plan to have a drive-in service where we'll remain in our cars. You can park facing the main doors of the church building. Just looking up the long ramp into the main entryway, you can park your cars either on the side lot or on the road, on either side of the road, facing the church building, and you can keep your windows rolled up. Matter of fact, you should. That's the guidelines we've been given, and so we'll be doing our best to abide by those. And we'll have a sign out as you approach, telling you what frequency that you should tune your car radio. There'll be an FM frequency that we'll have that will broadcast the service right into your cars. Pastor Matt is scheduled to be our preacher, and I'll be leading the worship service, and we'll be standing just in front of the doors is the plan of the church building, looking out. Out to all of you and your cars, and we also plan to film, record the service as normal and post it on YouTube and Facebook and our website as normal. There'll be a bit of a delay. It won't be a live service. It won't show up at 9:30. We do plan to meet at 9:30 for the service live, record it, and then as soon as we can get that posted online for those who cannot or choose not to attend in person. But we're excited to do this, and there's a number of things we need to work out between now and then to make it happen, but we're trusting that that will be the case. And so stay tuned. I plan to send a letter out this week to the congregation to give more information about this and our other tentative plans for the weeks to come. I just in case you haven't heard, I've assembled a reopening team with representatives from our church boards, the deacon board, church board, and board of Christian education, and a couple other members at large from the congregation to get a wide variety of perspectives and the help needed to do some of the things we need to do to start gathering back together again. It might be in the form of just a drive-in service for the first week or two, or maybe even beyond. We're still working out those details, but just wanted to let you know that this is in motion, and we're really looking forward to being able to see each other, even if it is through the glass of your car windshields. And so stay tuned for the letter and more information, and looking forward to seeing you again.
All right, thanks, Pastor John. Again, we just want to let you know that we invite you to connect with us online through our website, stavangerchurch.org, or through Facebook or on our YouTube channel, which you're watching right now. We also want to remind you that we have our daily devotionals posted every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 in the morning as we work our way through the lectionary. And that's posted again on YouTube and then also on Facebook. If you're interested in contributing financially to the work of Stavanger Lutheran Church, you can continue to go online to our website, stavungerchurch.org, and in the top right corner, there's a Give tab. Go ahead, click that, and you can go there. Or you can mail in your check to the address listed below here. With that, let us hear our call to worship for Pastor Giovanni.
Pastor Giovanni here with the call to worship from Psalm 68, verses 1 through 10. May God arise. May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy dwelling? God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai. Before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it. And from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. End of reading. And now it is time for our opening hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Despise, forsake thee. Take to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Now let us confess our sin. The first part I will read, and then the second part you read along together with me, and then after that I'll have some words for you. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, confess with me. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Now would you join me in confessing our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take some time now to pray together as a church family. Dear Lord, we pray for our upcoming plans of meeting together and what that's going to look like over the next number of months. Lord, we ask that your hand would guide us, that we would be faithful to what you're calling us to do. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us to navigate these waters with wisdom. Lord, we pray for those among us who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Think in particular of Faye. Lord, as mourns the loss of Justin. Lord, we pray your peace and your comfort would be upon her and the rest of her family, the rest of Justin's family. Lord, we pray for the mission of the church in North America, that as we engage in your mission, that as we do the work that you've called us to do, we ask that we could be faithful in all ways. God, we pray for the mission of the church in the rest of the world, as the church seeks to come alongside in your mission, what you're doing, Lord. We ask that they could be faithful in that. As they face persecution, that they would be faithful to you. As they face difficulty, that they'd be faithful to you. Lord, in particular, we pray for our church in Chad. They have two new teachers at the school, Jean-Baptiste and Levi. They're both active in their home churches, and they're eager to join the school's ministry. Lord, we pray for them and their families as they relocate and start their new role there. Father, we ask that you would do your work through your church. We ask that you would do your work through Stavanger. We ask that souls would be saved and that they would come to know you and receive life in you. And Lord, we pray for Pastor John now as he brings the word, that we could hear your word clearly. And Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now invite Pastor John Jewell to come give us the message.
Hey, Stavanger kids, Pastor John here with your kids' time for this Sunday. Anyone like pizza? Oh, some of you do, I bet. I like pizza. You ever had pizza right out of the oven? And you take a bite out of it, you just can't wait to taste it. And all of a sudden, ouch! What happened? You burned your tongue or the top of your mouth. I think the top of the mouth hurts worse than the tongue. They both don't feel good. And if you're in such a hurry to eat that pizza before it was cool enough to safely bite into it, oh, you got your mouth burned. And that does not feel good. Doesn't feel good when it happens, and it doesn't feel good for a few days afterward. Yeah, okay. Another question. What do we got here? Ooh, can you see what that is? Yeah, sunscreen, right? Why do we put that stuff on? Well, yeah, that's right. Because if you're out in the sun too long, if your skin isn't tan enough from being in the sun a little bit at a time, what happens? You get sunburned. Oops. Have you ever gone out and spent more time out in the sun than you should have? Maybe you didn't put sunscreen on like your mom or dad told you to. Did you put sunscreen on? Oh, no, I didn't. And you got sunburned. Your face is all red. Oh, it hurts. And you try to lay down and sleep at night and it hurts and it feels like it's really hot. Yeah, no fun. Well, we suffer sometimes for things that we do that we shouldn't have done. Whoa, just about dropped the camera. Yeah, sometimes we suffer because of things we've done foolishly or even just plain wrong. Yeah, the Bible, that passage that we're going to read today, talks about suffering. Not just about suffering for doing things wrong or foolishly or carelessly, but also for suffering for doing the right thing. Whoa, what's that all about? Well, we're going to hopefully find out what that's about and what God has to say about it. So stay tuned, and I encourage you to listen to the sermon along with your parents, and looking forward to seeing you again in person, hopefully really soon. All right, thanks, kids.
Hello, Stavanger. Today's sermon passage comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, and chapter 5, beginning in the middle of verse 5 through verse 11. I read in Jesus' name. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, then what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is God's word. Let us pray. Our gracious Maker and Redeemer, speak now to us through this, your holy word. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and most of all, Lord, hearts to believe what you have to say to us in this, your word. To that end, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. A friend of mine who studied this passage with me not long ago translated the opening sentences. Don't get weirded out at the trial you're going through. Don't get weirded out. The Greek, the word in the original language here, for surprised has a connection with the word strange that occurs later in the verse. They both have the same root word here. As if it's not just surprise, but it's something that seems just really out of place. When our oldest daughter was just a baby, not even a year old, I was on my ministry internship in the town of Fairdale, North Dakota. Tammy and I and Mariah lived there for a year. And one day we were at the church I was serving as an intern pastor, and Tammy was holding Mariah, and one of the church members came up and was wanting to hold Mariah. But she was very polite about it. She asked Tammy for permission, essentially, first. But the question came in this form: does your baby make strange? Does your baby make strange? We hadn't heard that phrase used that way before. We were wondering, make strange what? Noises? Smells? I'm not sure. Well, we did figure out what the question was. Does your baby have stranger anxiety? Will she be upset if someone besides her parents is holding her? A considerate person not wanting to disturb our baby unnecessarily. So Mariah didn't make strange, and it was just fine, and the person got to hold her and nothing bad happened. Well, it's like that here in First Peter. He's saying, don't make strange. Don't be made strange when suffering is encountered, as though it's unusual. We expect suffering in this world. If we've been in it for any amount of time, we don't get to go about in life without suffering something. And suffering comes in different forms for different reasons. There's two basic kinds of suffering. Suffering for doing wrong, that's probably the kind we're most familiar with. There's something right about suffering for wrong. It's a way of discouraging wrong or foolish or careless or inconsiderate or just plain criminal behavior. And that kind of suffering we're discouraged from having to endure. The kind of suffering that we bring on ourselves. Have you ever done something careless, foolish, or even wrong on purpose, knowing full well that you would suffer for it, but you went ahead and did it anyway? I've done it. As we get older, we learn there's certain things that our bodies won't permit us to do in the same way or in the same intensity or for the same duration that we used to be able to do them. I enjoy outdoor work, hard physical labor in my yard, but I'm learning that the hard way, that I can't go at it in the same way that I did, say, 20 or 30 years ago. But sometimes I choose to do it anyway, knowing full well I'm going to suffer the next day. And I do. And so there's sometimes a trade-off in our minds. We're willing to suffer for some things. There's all kinds of things we can suffer for that we bring on upon ourselves. And this doesn't come to any surprise to us. If we've been around in this world for any amount of time. But what about the suffering for doing right? That maybe hits us as a little bit strange. And sometimes our life experience can be bring us to a point of a kind of a cynicism of saying, well, no good deed goes unpunished. Or something like that. We've experienced sometimes suffering for doing the right thing. Because there is sin in this world. Our sin and the sin of others. And sin brings suffering. However, Peter says, if you suffer, verse 16, as a Christian, do not be ashamed. Don't be weirded out. Don't be surprised. And don't be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name, the name Christian. Wow. Peter was speaking to people who were suffering persecution for the name of Jesus. People who are persecuted for their faith. Many of us living in this country have not had to face that kind of persecution. While we may see signs of a lessening favor in public spheres toward Christians nowadays than we've been accustomed to in years and decades past, the kind of suffering that the original audience for this letter from Peter were experiencing is not something many of us have. And yet today that kind of suffering is not rare in this world, unfortunately. Our brothers and sisters in places like like North Korea, Somalia, even in China and other places around the world, are suffering for the sake of the name of Jesus. And during this worldwide concern over the coronavirus and the responses to it in various countries, Christians have in some places suffered disproportionately compared to their neighbors due to persecution, which often takes the form of economic deprivation, whereas Christians are denied help that other people might have, are not allowed to have the kinds of jobs other people have, etc. So those who are in a vulnerable position already under more normal circumstances are even more vulnerable now. That can give us some perspective, perhaps, on the suffering some of us are experiencing. It's not the same for each of us as we've gone on these weeks with the concern of the coronavirus. And yet, we are given, as Christians, we're given a new perspective about suffering. We understand that the suffering can be caused by our own misdeeds, our own foolishness, our own wrongdoing. It can be caused by the wrongdoing of others, and it can be attributed to bearing the name of Jesus. Suffering is an indication when we suffer for wrongdoing that there is a God who is just, who does not allow a wrongdoing to run unchecked for our own good, that he doesn't allow it to run unchecked, that we are disciplined by our loving Heavenly Father the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. And for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. How true that is. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So when we recognize hardship and suffering as something that is not beyond God's control, not beyond his knowledge, but actually something that he allows in our lives for our good, we can see that we have an option, a different opportunity of how to look at it. In the beginning of 1 Peter, Peter's letter here to Christians who are suffering, in chapter 1, he talks about the great gift we have from God in the new birth. In chapter 1, verse 3 and following, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you,
who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's important there, that we are shielded by God's power, even in the midst of this suffering that we may be experiencing now. In this you greatly rejoice. So we're greatly rejoicing about the inheritance that we are promised, the shielding by God's power that we have right now, and what is waiting us yet to come. We rejoice in this. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Here he's recognizing that even though these great and glorious things are promised by God, it doesn't mean that our life now is going to be easy. These trials, verse 7, have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There you go. That in the midst of suffering, we can have hope, even joy, because we know that God cares for us and is caring for us in the midst of the suffering and is using this suffering for a good purpose, to refine our faith, to train us so that we may have a harvest of righteousness, that we may have a faith proved genuine, refined like gold, which needs a great deal of heat to purify it. And that's why Peter writes back in chapter 4, verse 12, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. The heat is applied, and it hurts. Worse than burning your tongue on a hot pizza. And that pain can go on for much longer than it takes your mouth to heal from eating a bite of pizza that's too hot. It can go on for a while in this life, but we are reminded that it doesn't go on forever. It is limited in time, and it's limited in scope and intensity by the one who cares for us. In verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. See, suffering for wrongdoing is an affirmation that we have a God who is just, who is right, who cares for us. And even suffering for doing right points us to a God who cares for us. You see, the devil, he wants to see us suffer. He wants to see us suffer for the name of Jesus because he hates Jesus and anyone associated with him. Jesus warned his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. They will treat you this way because of my name. Rejoice that you bear that name. It doesn't mean we have to be giddy in the face of pain. The rejoicing it doesn't have to be a glib of sort of candy coating of real pain and suffering. But it is a deep, abiding joy, a hope, something to cling to find give us comfort
in the midst of the painful trial. And a promise that there will be a time where we will be giddy. We will be head over heels, excited in joy and in joy when His glory is revealed. You see, in verse 13, it has two different words for rejoice and joy. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. That's more like that deep inner joy and the peace that comes from it. So that you may be overjoyed, head over heels, excited, ecstatic in joy when His glory is revealed. There will come a day when we'll be able to stand up and cheer and shout for joy, even if we can't do it right now. Because we have a God whose mighty hand is greater than any suffering we are enduring right now. Humble yourselves, verse 6, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. He is powerful, and He is good. And He proved it by sending Jesus to the cross for your sins and mine, where He suffered for the joy set before Him, scorning the shame of the cross for the joy of suffering on behalf of you and me, that our suffering in this world might not be eternal, but that our joy will be. May God's grace bless you and keep you this day. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John, for bringing us that message from the Lord. Stavanger, would you join in singing our closing hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory? now let us sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Stavanger, we thank you for joining us today for worship, and we're looking forward to seeing each other next week, and so I look forward to that all week. I'm excited for that. But in the meantime, if you need to connect with us, feel free to reach out to us, to one of us pastors, either online or via our phones. We'd love to talk with you. But before we close, hear now this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.